The renowned writer Salman Rushdie has avoided media attention since a brutal stabbing attack in August. He lost his right eye and is still enduring a long recovery. But Rushdie has released a new sweeping novel that he'd completed when he was attacked last summer. It's called Victory City. And like many Rushdie works, it is epic, extravagant, laced with mythology and magical realism. And it contains the line, "Words are the only victor." Perhaps fitting for a writer who has been under a death threat since 1989 over his novel, The Satanic Verses. Rushdie spoke recently to David Remnick, editor of The New Yorker. Remnick has a profile of Rushdie in the magazine, and he also speaks to him on the New Yorker Radio Hour. David Remnick joins us now. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Now, Salman Rushdie has avoided media appearances since his stabbing attack, and your interview with him is the only one he granted. How did he look to you when you saw him in New York in December?
Well, Salman is 75 years old, and he endured not only decades of what could only be, to say the least, nerve-wracking threat, but a colossal attack at Chautauqua last August in which he, as you say, he lost his eye, he was stabbed in the viscera any number of times, and in the hand in a way that cut his ulnar nerve. You know, he's lost 40 pounds. He lost the vision in his right eye, but he's doing okay. I'm delighted to report. There's a certain hesitation in him, but then when we sat down to talk, I found him as fluid and as funny and as engaged and as engaging as ever. I've known him for quite a long time.
Do you sense the attack has changed him?
I think he would prefer to be talking about anything other than the fatwa and more recently the attack. But of course it's changed him because, you know, for the last 20 odd years in New York, he's lived quite freely in the evenings. He's out a lot. He does public appearances and basically unguarded. You know, for the first 10 years in England, he was guarded every minute of the day. But he quite defiantly lived a free life until this attack. So I think there's no question, as he puts it himself in his own words, you know, there's an element of PTSD in addition to the physical ramifications of that terrible attack.
Well, let's take a listen to a little bit of your chat with Salman Rushdie as he describes his injury and his recovery.
Can you type?
Not very well because of the lack of feeling in the fingertips. The big injuries was here.
It's right under your right jaw.
Yes, the neck.
The neck.
The neck and the right side of my face. There was a lot there. There were chest wounds and the liver was injured.
Do we know how many times you were stabbed?
You know, I wasn't counting, but the...
David Remnick, just to back up, Salman Rushdie, born in India to a secular Muslim family of some wealth. He went to a boarding school and university in England. He's long been a fearless writer, which seems very important to him. Would you say writing has been part of Salman Rushdie's defiance? He wrote something like 16 books after the fatwa.
I think it's at the core of his defiance. Salman Rushdie set out to write his fourth novel, The Satanic Verses, as a novel about London, not primarily about religion, but about London, particularly British Asians, and with enormous sympathy and in opposition to bigotry. But he also wanted the freedom as a writer to provide his version of the grand narrative, in this case, of the origins of Islam. And the world turned upside down in an instant. You know, it's just very hard to imagine. Here you are, a novelist, and the next thing you know, you're under state-ordered execution by Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran. Your book is banned in, among other places, India, Pakistan. You're being burned in effigy in the city you live in. It was a terrifying experience.
You asked Salman Rushdie if he planned to write about this experience, this terrible stabbing at the public event in Chautauqua, Western New York.
One of the things that my books have tended to be is panoramic, like widescreen, with substantially large casts of characters, sometimes multi-generational, and sometimes like set in many places, what Henry James used to call a loose, baggy monster.
Shaggy monster, right.
The kind of book I haven't written is the book which focuses on a microscope and makes the universe from it.
Why do you think Salman Rushdie has tended to write these epic, sweeping novels? Does that tell us a little bit of who he is?
Well, Salman was raised on stories. You know, the stories of P.G. Wodehouse, the stories of Indian mythology, the stories of English fiction. Stories are everything to him, storytelling. And he's not a realist. He doesn't come from the tradition of Dickens or Richardson. He comes from the more magical tradition in English, maybe from Lawrence Stern, but, you know, writers like Calvino were very important to him. You know, so he takes enormous liberties. That is his pleasure. That is his talent. And that is his great contribution. And, you know, as he says to me in the interview, and I've heard it from him before, he wants his books to be the most interesting thing about him, not his life, and certainly not the defining events of his life, the fatwa and now the attack. But the world doesn't always agree.
A lot of us, when we think about Salman Rushdie, we view him as a kind of a warrior defender to protect the rights of expression. Mm-hmm. Do you think he sees himself that way?
It's a role that he took on by necessity. And he fulfilled that role with great gusto and gave a lot of time to it, particularly as president of PEN, which is an important group that fights against censorship and the persecution of writers. And he's in some ways a kind of purist or an absolutist when it comes to free speech. And I applaud him. I think he's carried on that role with great ferocity and real wisdom.
I was listening to a podcast interview he gave a little bit ago, and Salman Rushdie spoke about how growing up and not being part of a white majority, he said, as a somewhat outsider, we have an ability to challenge reality, or reality as it's seen.
Or the presumptions of reality as presented over centuries by a kind of white-dominated, male-dominated literary class. You know, Salman, again, he grew up rich, and he was sent to English boarding schools, but he was an outsider at English boarding school. He was an outsider at Cambridge. And that's what so much of his literature is about, is the hybridity of modern life. People coming from South Asia to live in England, the melting pot of New York City. He's a man of cities, not so much of nations. First of Bombay, second of London, and then of New York City. All of those cities are great cauldrons of hybridity, and that's very much his subject.
And the word city is embedded in his newest novel, Victory City. Let's talk about that. It is mystical, set in 13th and 14th century India, about a young girl who acquires divine powers and creates a city where women resist patriarchal rule, and filled with references from both Eastern literature and Western literature. Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
I thought it's one of his most enjoyable novels in quite a while. I mean, I fear that it'll be received somewhat through the prism of recent events and the attack and so on. But taken on its own, and this was a novel that he had finished the last edits on just a few weeks before the knife attack at Chautauqua, you know, I think his sense of pleasure and world building and fable creation is really in evidence here. It's certainly a book that deals with issues like men and women and misogyny. It certainly deals with sectarianism, which so infects so many nations, including India of late. But I think that takes a back seat to the pure pleasure of the storytelling that you see in this novel.
Now, as you say, Rushdie wrote this largely before the attack on him.
Completely, yeah.
Completely. And yet it seems almost eerily relevant, prophetic. It is about the power of storytelling, literally breathing life into people.
Yes, and I think there is a great insistence in this book that what is left behind of us, after all, we all return to dust in one way or another, what remains of us are stories and narratives, whether it's the story of a great religion, the story of an empire that rose and then fell, like the Roman Empire. The storyteller, the storytelling function is an essential part of our humanity. And I think Rushdie is both a heroic and brilliantly talented storyteller and one who has, you know, showed resistance to those who would silence him and even kill him.
We've been talking to David Remnick, editor of The New Yorker. He has a new profile of Salman Rushdie in the latest issue, and his conversation with Rushdie is in this week's edition of The New Yorker Radio Hour. David, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.